Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday. So then our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you have a question, comment, you don't have to talk about what I'm talking about at all. We welcome your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, I was just reading the New York Times. I always love to see what the enemy is doing, and certainly the fascinating article on what's going on in Zimbabwe, used to be Rhodesia, where, of course, during the last year, we have sent over $171 million over there. And, of course, this doesn't go to the people. This goes to keep the ruthless tyrant Mugabe in power, that that the United States State Department and CIA brought to power back in 1980. After, and of course, the United States at that time promised the people of Rhodesia that if things ever got out of hand, we would come back. We would certainly right the wrongs there, that there would be no taking away of property from people, there would be no loss of freedom. After all, they had a stable society in 1980. There was no racial discrimination there. There was no apartheid in Rhodesia. They were prosperous. They were one of the most prosperous countries in all of Africa. They were exporting food all over Africa. And Henry Kissinger went on national television and radio and promised the Zimbabwean people that if they just give up the man that they had elected democratically, Mr. Mesereo, and install the ruthless thug Mugabe, who had been trained in Red China. Of course, remember, of course, we'd brought the Red Chinese to power in China back in 1959, but of course, most people don't know that. So if we did just install Mugabe, everything would be fine. As soon as he got in, he began going around. He killed about 15,000 people in one of the tribes that hadn't supported him. And progressively, he has imposed a ruthless tyranny there, where rape and pillage and murder and destruction of homes is commonplace, where over 5 million people have fled the country. Most of the whites have left. Many of the blacks have left. And we're still funding him. We're funding them under the guise of, oh, we're there to help the people. We're going to send money, over $171 million. We sent over there last year to help the poor and starving. But, of course, that's the poor and starving who support Mugabe. Anybody who doesn't support him, of course, suddenly either has to flee for their lives or lives in total abject poverty. And some of them are starving to death over there. The current inflation rate in Zimbabwe, with the government that we install there, is 11 million% a year. 11 million% a year. And they're just simply turning on the printing presses. I think maybe they're even just, it's sort of an experiment to see what happens when you have 11 million% a year inflation. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that, simply going back to the time of the Weimar Republic. But remember, the United States State Department, the United States Intelligence Agency installed Mugabe. And, of course, he's been kept in power with money coming from the United States in the form of, aid for the starving people. Well, that's, of course, aid for the people who support Mugabe. And then, of course, by the Chinese communists. And the Chinese communists, of course, are a product of American generosity, as we give fabulous amounts of money under one guise or another to the Chinese communist government so they can build their skyscrapers. We encourage our factories to move over there. And, of course, it's money that's coming from Goldman Sachs and from J.P. Morgan and Company, from the East Asian Development Bank, certainly from the World Bank, from the International Monetary Fund that has created the prosperity in China. Certainly a lot of the people who are prospering love it, but the people, of course, live in the hinterlands. The peasants are simply being impoverished all the more. And China is using its power to keep the ruthless government in Burma, certainly in Rhodesia, certainly in North Korea in power. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, nobody ever asked, why are we... backing the communist Chinese when we're keeping the ruthless, tyrannical government in Myanmar or in Burma. And nobody ever asks why we're backing the Chinese government when they're keeping Mugabe in power, and they actually have Chinese military over there stationed in Zimbabwe to keep the power there, Mugabe, the ruthless tyranny, tyrannical government there. Of course, it's the Chinese communists who are backing the Sudanese government that, of course, is maintaining this oppressive rule in Darfur and slaughtering the natives there. But where is the outcry here in the United States for us backing the Chinese communists who are doing all these dreadful things and backing our enemies in North Korea? And, of course, there is none. We continue financing the Chinese communists. And, of course, now you say, well, of course, they have plenty of money. Yeah, they have plenty of money because we've intentionally given it to them. They have today approximately $1.8 trillion in reserves. $1.8 trillion. Of course, they're using some of that to come over here and buy up our corporations and buy up our roads and buy up our facilities and buy up our banks. Why have we put ourselves into this position? It is because the leaders of our country have a different worldview. They have a different agenda. And, of course, their goal is a world government, and they want to have dependable people in power over in communist China. Had our leaders had any integrity, they would have been boycotting China instead of George Bush going over there and bootlicking the hand of the Chinese oppressors there, who oppress their people, who kill anybody who opposes them, who maintain labor camps, who take 71-year-old women who have demonstrated because, of course, their property was seized by the government and they didn't get fair compensation. They send them off to be re-educated at 71 years of age. How many of you actually believe that they were going to live through the ordeal in the prison camps? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the question comes up, why are we doing everything we can to help the Chinese communists? And that is because the world is ruled by far different people than the average person realizes. And there really are spiritual forces, and at least according to the occultists, they have their people planted in the governments in both the East and the West. And, of course, they are moving the world towards a world government. The document I would refer to would be a document called The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. It was actually dictated to Alice Bailey before she died by a demonic spirit. But certainly, maybe the demons are lying. Well, you try to explain why things are going on the way they are. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you because that's what Open Line Wednesday is all about. Like to know what you're thinking. We were just talking about the tragic situation in Zimbabwe where we are keeping Sidney Mugabe in power. We sent them $171 million of food last year. Why don't we just stop sending the food over because it's not getting to the people who need it. It's getting to the people who support the government, and that's the way the game is played. They have 11% a year inflation. 11% a year inflation. Remember, that's the government that we installed many years ago. Well, there's so many other things we could talk about at the present time. A fascinating article actually appeared in the New York Times about one of these statin drugs that's been very widely used in the United States. And, of course, it's called Vytorin, and, of course, it goes under Zetia, Z-E-T-I-A as well. And, of course, what was the background to prove it was safe? Well, they gave it to about 3,000 people for 12 weeks, and since none of them had any real complications, it was released. And they sold, I think, $5 to $7 billion worth of this so far, and now they're suddenly finding that people are dying of cancer at an increased rate. There's a 40% increased cancer rate if you take these drugs. And, of course, we know that with many of the other statin drugs that are carcinogenic. But if you believe that there are too many people in the world, we really need population control, then you could understand why they would be releasing drugs that produce cancer. Well, of course, the manufacturers say, why should we worry about these human trials? Let us tell you about the animal trials that we financed. And in the animal trials that we financed, it doesn't show increase in cancer. It's just in the human beings, of course, where the studies have shown that it increases cancer. And he can't believe that. That's probably just a matter of chance. And so we're going to start a new series, and they're going to study it for another 4 or 5 years. And how many thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Americans will die taking useless statin drugs, which, if you look at their background and their success, they really do not decrease in any way the incidence of death in people who have elevated cholesterol. And, of course, cholesterol is not what causes the death, the strokes or the heart attacks. It's the calcification of the arteries. And that's where we ought to really be putting our emphasis, but we're not doing that. We're simply prescribing statin drugs, which bring in literally tens of billions of dollars, of course, every year to the various drug companies. And, of course, they know they're carcinogenic. These latest ones, Vytorin and Azedia, have been shown to be carcinogenic with a 40% increase in cancer. And they're just going to do another study. Well, why wouldn't they take them off the market and do the study? Why? Because, of course, they would not be able to kill as many people. They would not be making the massive profits they are. They would not be able to do the research to develop other drugs, of course, that they can make lots of money on. And where is the outcry from the medical profession? Where is the outcry from our elected representatives? Well, they leave it up to the FDA, because we know the Federal Drug Administration is there to protect us. Or are they? Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and preparing for a talk I'm going to be giving this weekend. Incidentally, I will be at the UROC meeting, the United Republicans of California. I'll be speaking there on Saturday. And Sydney, as we were doing our preparation for the talk, we wanted, of course, to bring out a little bit about the population control agenda, and so I simply took part of the Global Biodiversity Assessment, the Earth Charter and the Global Biodiversity Assessment report, and included them. And when you read the Global Biodiversity Assessment report that came out of the Second Earth Summit back after 1992, it's published by Cambridge University Press. It's 1,152 pages, but it is summarized in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, and we want to thank one of our, Jeannie, who's one of our favorite supporters and has been a friend for a long time, who actually spent 3 months summarizing that 1,142-page United Nations report, the Global Biodiversity Assessment. And as I say, you can buy this at your local bookstore. They still should be in print. But, of course, they talk about the necessity of cutting back dramatically on the world's population. And if we're going to have, of course, the level of people in the world that we had to have today, living at first world standards, we'd have to cut the world population to about a billion. Or if we wanted to have them living at the level of peasants, as they do in Eastern Europe, then we might be able to have at the most 2 or 3 billion. But certainly we're going to have to dramatically decrease the population of the world. And people say nobody would ever really intentionally kill off billions of people, would they? Well, if you just read the Bible, and it'll tell you when the four horsemen of the apocalypse, certainly when that fourth horseman is on the ride, why, of course, they kill off a quarter of the world's population. And after that, things really get bad. And how do they kill them off? With war, with pestilence, which is disease, and with famine. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the famine is coming. We're doing everything illogical. We're actually destroying a large part of our corn crop, about 25% of it, so we make ethanol out of it. There are lots of things that we could use besides corn. But corn is a staple product. Corn keeps people alive. The United States is the largest exporter of corn anywhere in the world. That's why we're destroying our corn, driving the price of this up, but of course we won't have it to give to other countries where people are starving, and we do not have stocks. And certainly there is developing food shortages. In fact, if you try to buy freeze-dried food from Mountain House, and we've actually checked this out, and it's true, Mountain House, which is one of the largest producers of freeze-dried canned goods, of course long-term storage here in the United States, will not sell any to individuals now. Certainly a few people have stocks of this. When those are gone, they're gone. And it's going to be a year and a half or 2 years before they will even start this. Why? Because the government is stockpiling it. Actually, when I've talked to David Sibley with Verity Reserve Food, he told me that he knew that somebody was buying up all the Mountain House freeze-dried food, but he didn't know who it was. Well, since then we found out, of course, it's been going to army bases. So at least the military and police will have food, while the people here in the United States may well starve in the coming crisis situation that we're really facing. And people cannot believe we're moving into a crisis situation, yet everything suggests that a war is planned with Iran. And when you start a war with Iran, you never know how it's going to end. Everything points to the fact that we're moving into increasing confrontation with Russia, which, of course, we've been over there for years, drilling their oil wells, drilling their natural gas wells, building their pipelines, building up Russia so they could build up their military, become the best enemy money could buy. And, of course, Russia is now offering to provide Iran with the most sophisticated anti-missile defense, anti-aircraft defense. And, of course, once they have that, why our planes, our missiles will not be effective. And that's why I think that the attack may come. And I can't say will come, but the attack on Iran may come, because certainly our military wants to be sure that the enemy does not have these sophisticated weapons to counter our weapons. And so this is in the offing. And then, of course, we're giving $1 billion to Georgia to build up that country, which is now an enemy of Russia. Actually, of course, it was Georgia that attacked the Russian forces in South Ossetia. We never tell the American people that. It's all those terrible Russians. The Russians were just retaliating. Now, I'm not saying the Russians are good either, because you have to understand that the governments on both sides are controlled by exactly the same people. These spirits of forces we keep talking about, that they talk about in their own publications, who dominate the governments in both the East and the West. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know what is on your heart. But my heart is really very, very saddened and very concerned, because I think we're moving into very difficult times politically. And I really do believe that war is imminent. I think everything is being done, of course, to generate a war with the Muslim world. In fact, there was something that just came out this last week or so. It's called the Tinner Files, T-I-N-N-E-R. And apparently Tinner is a Swiss family. And they've been sending nuclear technology over to the Pakistan government, to Mr. Khan over there. And, of course, they've been doing everything they could to help the Pakistanis develop the nuclear weapons, which, of course, they're sharing with other Muslim countries. This then ties into the Sybil Edmonds story. That's Sybil Edmonds, and you can read a Sybil story in January 8th, London Times article, because Sybil Edmonds couldn't get this story out in the United States and still can't get this story out in the United States about the spy ring operating at the highest level of our government, transferring nuclear technology and wherewithal and material to Pakistan. Now, why would we do that? Well, first of all, we could not let the American people know that we were building up the nuclear potential of the Muslim world. Just as we built up the military potential of the Nazis prior to the Second World War. And if you haven't read the book, going into the background of that, it's entitled Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Or, certainly we actually have a letter I found at the back of the Sterling Library at Yale University, written by Ambassador Dodd, who was the American ambassador to Germany back in 1936, and he's writing it to Colonel House in this paper, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of the article, where he says, why are American corporations, the 100 corporations here in Germany, building up the military potential of the Germans? Nobody here wants another war. We just got through the terrible First World War. Nobody wants another war. So why is it that the Americans are... American corporations are building up the military potential of the German military when they can't get any money out of the country? Their exchange controls to the people back in the United States know what's happening. Well, of course, they did not. Nobody's ever talked about that letter. But we do have it available. We'll send you a copy. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And just as we build up, of course, the military potential of the Germans so we could have World War II, now we're building up the military potential of both of the Muslim world and the Russians and the Chinese so we can have World War III. May God protect us. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and hopefully somebody be calling in if you agree, if you disagree. But there's so many things going on today that point to the fact that surreptitiously behind the scenes, the people who really control America, and I'm talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, or at least the people working for the Council on Foreign Relations who are dedicated to world government, their loyalty is not to the United States, but to this one world government. And these people then who interlock with what we refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness, these people are planning on a major world war. Of course, we're moving into financial situation today. Certainly, we remember how we got out of a terrible depression of the 1930s. They got us out by taking us into the terrible war of the 1940s. It's a standard technique. I believe that they are certainly going to need a war to get us out of the difficult situation that we're in today. And of course, certainly financially, our country is going from bad to worse. Unfortunately, most people do not understand what's really going on behind the scenes. They focus our attention on all sorts of exciting things like the Olympics over in China, and then the Democratic Convention, and then the Republican Convention, and then Governor Palin of Alaska and the tragic situation surrounding their property. But what people do not understand is this is all showbiz. This is to detract our attention and get us argued on the wrong issues. And we could give you example after example after example how they focus our attention on the wrong issues and never discuss the really important things going on. Well, our telephone number, once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Illinois. Hi, Jeff. What part of Illinois are you calling from?
We're in the southern part.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, we're in corn country, and you talked a little bit about ethanol and the grain shortages.
Right.
And one concern that I'm seeing in agriculture, is going to give you some updates, is our fertilizers and our input costs have drastically increased. And if our prices do reverse much, and they have went down quite a bit in the last month or so, we could have tragedy sitting right here on the horizon in American agriculture.
My understanding, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the price of corn's gone from about $7.50 a bushel to back to $6 a bushel. Is that about right or not?
No, actually, we're looking at probably in the around the $5.50 to even lower than that for corn.
Okay, so the price is even going lower than it had. And what was it before, Chris, it had the current run up?
It used to be anything over $3 a bushel for corn was pretty decent money, was a pretty decent profit. But now, according to the figures, are showing that for next year, for 09 crop, you're going to need probably $4.75 to $5.25 just to break even.
All right, fine. And so you say the price certainly of the fertilizers is going up. Potash is going up as well? Or?
We're looking at about... right now, we were looking at about $800 a ton for potash, about 1846 O, which is your phosphorus, with a little bit of nitrogen. We're looking at over $1,000 a ton, and speculated anhydrous price next year could be $1,000 to $1,200 a ton, which is going to make a really high input cost, not even including the fuel and other things.
Well, I think a lot of our farmers are going to be in real serious trouble by next year. What are your thoughts, Jeff?
My thoughts are very, very much concerned that if these prices were to stay down, and we all know that we have a lot of manipulated markets. We do know that there is probably some world grain shortages. But if these prices do stay down, and if they do pull ethanol out.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking to Jeff, who is from Southern Illinois, talking about the farm problem, and he's just saying that the prices of corn is actually getting down around, what, $5.50 a bushel, something there?
That's correct.
And, of course, this is going to create a real problem as far as the farmers are concerned. And of course, certainly by next year, if something doesn't happen with the rising price of potash, with the rising price of phosphorus and fertilizers, why, they're not going to be able to make it. It says it's going to take about at least $4.75 a bushel for them to break even. Would that be a fair estimate?
$4.75 to $5.25 would probably be a good area.
All right, fine. Well, what do you think is going to happen from your point of view?
Well, the Farm Bureau, which I have no confidence in, and I really would like to pull out from them because I don't believe they represent the farmer and haven't probably for quite a few years now. And you're going to know more about this than I do, but I remember Ron Paul's letter on CAFTA talked about some of the borders that were tore down even more so than NAFTA. Are they going to start bringing in real cheap ethanol from Central America, which we know Cargill has got a multi-million-dollar ethanol plant already in place? So I just wonder, you probably know a whole lot more about that than I do.
Well, I do know, of course, we could import certainly the ethanol a lot cheaper from Brazil than we can actually manufacture it here. And, in fact, when they're manufacturing the ethanol here, they have to subsidize it, or it wouldn't be economically feasible. So we're subsidizing this, and of course, we're using about a quarter of our corn product crop. I think we ought to save that corn crop for people to eat, because I think there are going to be real food shortages throughout the rest of the world here in the next year or so.
Very easily could be. With the increased input costs, and if ethanol is, if they do start bringing in the Central America and the South American ethanol, it could really be concerning.
Well, I think it really could. And I think the farmer is simply exploited every which way, and he's totally manipulated by the people who manipulate the price of our grain products. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jeff, how do the farmers feel? Are the farmers really beginning to worry a little bit about the way things are going, especially with the rise in the price of fertilizer and potash?
Actually, the word that you hear from some farmers is actually fearful. It's actually fearful because just the amount that they're going to have to put in to put out a crop even this year, but even next year is even a lot more so. So very, very concerning, and you do hear the word fearful from grown men, and that in itself to me is very concerning.
Well, all right, fine. Are you a farmer yourself, Jeff?
Yes, I am a farmer, and I know you're busy, and I'll have to let you go. But one thing that we've done is we're completely out of government subsidies and CRPs. Everything is done. We're just going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and see what He's got for us. And we do look for it to start getting really rough. So, but we've got to trust the Lord Jesus, and hopefully, in this nation, God's children will turn back to Him and truly have a repentant heart.
Amen to that. I certainly agree with you, and I only hope and pray that the people will begin to repent, and I believe the only hope for America would be a return to our Lord.
I thank you so much.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling. That was Jeff calling from Illinois, and of course now we have a John calling. And of course, hi John, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Are you calling from Vancouver? Is that Vancouver, Washington, or Vancouver, British Columbia?
Well, I prefer Vancouver, Washington, but I'm in Canada.
All right, fine. Well, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I heard something that was really disturbing me. It was actually a prophetic sort of program that comes out of Sandwood, Washington. I won't mention the name of the ministry, but they were saying something like, this has really got me worried. They said that they were expecting a nuclear submarine to launch a nuclear warhead off the coast on the Pacific Ocean, and that the U.S. government actually knew about it, and they were warning, the government was actually warning its citizens that they were expecting a nuclear attack. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, doesn't this play into the New World Order people, like which want to bring the population down to 500 million? Around the world, so I thought maybe you'd have an input on that.
Well, I really haven't heard anything about it. I'm certainly not going to make any predictions of anything of that sort, but certainly it's a very real possibility. But you don't even need a nuclear submarine. You could launch a nuclear missile attack from a passing freighter, and certainly this is very well being concerned. In fact, that the plot of Joel Rosenberg's last book, and I think it's probably a a very, very good possibility. But we don't know what's going to happen. We do know that God is eventually going to bring his judgment on this country. We have a great a series of DVDs on prophecy, which is put out by Pastor Billy Crone. I don't know if you heard my interview with him last night, but basically, of course, they have a lot of videos, of course, his presentation, a lot of Bible scripture, and he's really, I think, a very excellent analysis. It's actually 10 DVDs. It's called The Final Countdown, and I believe we are in the final countdown. We're in for some very, very difficult times. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. John, are you still there? I guess we lost John from Vancouver, but people are talking about a nuclear attack coming from a nuclear submarine. I just don't know. Certainly, anything is possible. I think we're just going to have to wait and watch and see. I think that we know that the government is planning on some major crises. How do we know that? Why? Because they're building concentration camps all across this country to put people into. And if you doubt that, of course, you already need to get our talk on the planned police state. But the syllabus that goes with that, because it gives you all the sources of reference where you can check this out and you can begin telling other people about it. We've got a great DVD called Bob Wire Over America, put out by our good friend Dave Wagner. And so we have 4 tape sets on concentration camps. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the government is building concentration camps. They're refurbishing the old Japanese concentration camps used during the Second World War. They have all their military camps, and they've simply changed the barbed wire. Rather than to keep people out of the military camps, it's to keep them in the military camps. They know exactly what they're doing, but they don't want the American people to know. And, of course, sometimes they say, well, that's for the illegal immigrants. Here, and don't believe that for 1 minute. That is for American citizens who do not want to go along with their program for the New World Order, the New World Religion, and of course the installation of the New World Leader. So these things are in the offing. We really can't tell you point by point how it's going to unfold, but we can read the scriptures where they tell us when the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, the rider of the pale horse, comes. And, of course, Hades, a death, follows close behind, and power is given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, and by the beasts of this world. And I believe that these things are coming. When they're coming, I don't know, but everything points to the fact that it's coming much sooner than sooner rather than later. And those of you who have not yet seen Billy Crone's excellent presentation, Final Countdown, it is available through Radio Liberty. We actually carry it. We carry it because you can get the first part, it's 5 DVDs, and the second part, 5 DVDs. And I will tell you, once you get started watching them, you'll want to see the whole series. You can show them to your church, show them to others, show them to believers and non-believers. People have to understand the spiritual aspect of what's going on in the world today. People don't want to face the fact that this wonderful utopian society we've lived in could very, very soon be coming to an end. How soon, we don't know, but all you need would be one nuclear bomb on one major city, and our whole system would collapse. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we'd like to have your calls, like to know what you're thinking about as time goes. And we have nothing specifically ready. Of course, we do, of course, have a few articles we picked up here. And we're talking certainly about the government is collecting dossiers on every American citizen. One of our listeners had sent me a letter. He had actually written to the NSA, that sometimes known as no such agency, but it's really the National Security Administration. And, of course, they're a national security agency. And NSA, of course, has been tracking all of your letters, all of your emails, all of your faxes, all of your telephone calls, going back to the time of the Second World War, when it was routine simply to open the mail of American citizens. And since that time, why, the NSA, working in conjunction with the British government, the Australian government, the Canadian government, the New Zealand government, has a program throughout the world where they are simply monitoring every conversation, not only certainly in those countries, but in all countries throughout the world. And, of course, we'll send in our special forces teams to actually tap into telephone lines, major telephone, underground telephone lines, by radio, and then, of course, install radios so that we can listen to all telephone conversations everywhere throughout the world. But they can't tell the American people this because it's against the law. But you must understand, there are people here in our government who want an empire. They want to rule the world. This is what it's about. This is why we have our troop station in 130 nations, keeping corrupt dictators in power all throughout the world, why we spend more money on our military than all the rest of the war put together. They can't tell the American people that we have an empire, that this is the real goal of the people who control both political parties and make mockery out of the electoral process, but that's what it's really all about. Well, let's go to Michael, who's calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Hi, Doc. Dr. Stan, I've been pondering, and you've talked quite a bit about this attack on Georgia or this whole Georgian affair, and it just seems to me that the political party of the great defeater of the evil Soviet empire, Ronald Reagan, would make some political fodder out of revitalizing this scenario again and broadcasting it and using it as a part of an attempt to get another member of their party elected or several members of their party elected.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I was told by a man who spent his life with the Central Intelligence Agency that there was going to be an incident before the election, that, of course, some sort of military confrontation in an effort to get John McCain elected. He's really not a very electable candidate. I mean, you look at the two candidates, certainly Obama is certainly much more personable, now he's got a nice smile, very relaxed. Very good presentation. So how are you going to get the American people to rally behind McCain? Certainly a lot of the social conservatives can't stand him. But the best thing to do would be to get a war going, or at least the threat of a war. And then, of course, with a choice between Obama in the White House and McCain in the White House, coming from a military family, why, of course, most people would vote for McCain. So we've been expecting some sort of an incident before the election that would rally the people behind the Republican candidate, because, of course, most people are against the war that the Republicans have created, but, of course, with a very real threat to the survival of our society, they'd probably vote for John McCain. I think this whole thing is being staged, and that you are very right. This may very well be what it's about, or maybe there'll be another incident. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, I would expect another incident. My thought is that revitalizing the Russian thing and making the Russians look like the expansionist state that was the evil Soviet empire and so forth is more just an appeal to those many in the country who still admire and adulate Ronald Reagan as the great defeater of the evil demonic empire.
But I think what you have to understand, Michael, is we funded the Soviet Union from its very inception, and that's beautifully covered in Professor Sutton's book, Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development, and then, of course, his book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, his book, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. We carry all of those things. We, have, of course, have our four-tape set. Finally, we have a wonderful interview with Professor Sutton where he talks about how we've created the best enemy money could buy. So until people understand that nothing is as it appears to be, that our leaders work very closely with the Russian leaders, but we can't let the American people know that. In a similar matter, our leaders work very, very closely with the Chinese communist leaders. It's all a fraud, but you have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government. The people look to the government to protect them from our wicked enemies, and tragically, this is what's exactly going on today.
Yeah, and the hypocrisy of being a democratic system of government, and we don't elect anybody that we elect except maybe on the local, very close local level, by what the person's true motives is. They keep all their motives secret, and that's a secret agenda on a grand scale in the case of the secret organization, worldwide secret organizations. But even just politicians ordinarily, we have no way of knowing who their supporters are and what their philosophy is, and it's intentionally covered up and misled and propagandized. So, when we vote, we don't know what we're voting for, really. We think we know what we're voting for, and we're smart enough to make a decision on the way people act or what they say and so forth. But it's there's very little truth in as a basis for any of our votes, it seems to me.
I think you're absolutely right.
I was fooled by Ronald Reagan's smooth talk, and I was even fooled by your fellow statesman, Richard Nixon. So.
Right. I think you're absolutely right, Michael. All we can do is try to educate people. You and I have been around, obviously, for a long time. We need to get people to understand how fraudulent the democratic process is. What we really need to do is get people who really believe in America elected, people like Ron Paul. But, of course, the media would not even give him the time of day.
Yeah, and he, when you speak the truth, it's your condemnation, because
but we got a lot
you're
of
supposed
good
to believe in all of these evil, all these stories and fables they tell and myths, and so if someone comes out and tells the truth about any aspect of their philosophy, their really deep thoughts, well, they're going to be tarred and feathered, especially if they espouse Christianity.
Amen to that. If they're really
Christ,
if they're really espousing Christianity, a lot of these politicians pretend to be Christians, just simply to get the votes of the people. Nothing really bothered me more than seeing Bill Clinton coming out of church on Sunday morning with a Bible under his arm. Anyway, God bless you, Michael.
And, okay, God bless you.
Get people listening. Try to get them to questioning what's going on, because we're moving into the difficult times. They're going to be looking for answers, and we've got to have it for them.
It's a thick shell that's been built up around it. It's nearly impenetrable, but not completely impenetrable, or I'd still be propagandizing for some fake political party.
So. All right, God bless you. Thanks very much, Michael.
Thank
I agree
you.
With you totally.
Word.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Mike, do you have a question or comment?
Two comments. One, that Bible under Bill Clinton's arm did get him 38% of the biblical evangelical vote.
Right, because it's all showbiz. It's all a matter of perception. It's rhetoric over reality. It is all what we think, but of course what we see is not reality.
Yeah, as another president said, fool me once, dumb, 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 shame on you, or whatever it was.
Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
But anyhow, it's interesting to note regarding things in Georgia, we have the Coast Guard in on the act now. The Coast Guard cutter Dallas is being used to deliver this humanitarian aid. With an accompanying Navy destroyer, all of this for 40 tons of what they say is toothbrushes and things like that, which two C-17s could much more easily accomplish than the destroyer with a cutter.
But, of course, what we really want to do is bring the American military into confrontation with the Russian military there in the Black Sea.
It's just the strangest thing in the world to me to think of our Coast Guard over there. The Dallas, by the way, was also used off the coast of Yugoslavia and Albania when all that was going on.
And, of course, that's before, of course, we turned Kosovo over to the Muslims. Right?
Yeah.
And in fact, the people who were behind that whole movement were part of Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, and we backed them every step of the way, as we did in Bosnia. We backed the Al-Qaeda people in Bosnia, and we backed the Al-Qaeda people in Kosovo. Anything else, Mike?
Well, if there's a listener out there that has any understanding of what this is all about, I'm trying to figure the line of thinking that takes our Coast Guard so far away. So maybe there's some listener that has a little insight on that.
Oh, I think it's very obvious, Mike. Of course, since we dominate the world, the whole world is ours, and our Coast Guard certainly protects our property. We dominate the world. The United States dominates the world. The whole idea is an American empire, but we can't tell the American people that's what they're paying the taxes for. We can't tell them that there's the real objective of the people who control both of our political parties, a one-world government, certainly brought about by America, and eventually, of course, once it's established by America, as a sovereign nation will be destroyed.
Well, maybe there's a reason why New York is called the Empire State.
Amen to that. God bless. Thanks so much, Mike. And our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Dee calling from Spokane. Hi, Dee.
Hello there, Dr. Stan. I just finished listening to the speech of the Republican presumptive nominee for Vice President, Sarah Palin.
What did you think of it?
It was very laudable. There's very little I can disagree with what she says. She's a resource person and so forth. And yet, she is no more going to be president than Dan Quayle, and I could never vote for Senator McCain.
All right. Well, you have to make that decision yourself. I'll tell you what, a choice between McCain and Obama is like a choice between being shot or being hung. I don't like the alternatives.
Indeed.
But anyway, I think it's really interesting to see how they're playing this thing and how they're playing the Christian vote, because this is really what it's all about. McCain was going to lose the Christian vote. Certainly, James Dobson had said he couldn't possibly back him. And now, of course, with Sarah Palin, who really would have no influence at all on anything at all, who is simply there as a figurehead, wife, certainly some of our Christian leaders are saying, well, now we can back McCain.
Well, what does it say, Dr. Stan, about the Republicans when Joseph Lieberman is welcomed and Ron Paul is not welcomed?
Well,
and Ron Paul got one quarter of the vote out here in the West. And I'm thinking of states like Nevada, my home state of Idaho, and I believe in Montana he got better than quarter of the vote.
I think that tells you a lot about what's going on today. And the fact that most people don't know that Ron Paul got a quarter of the vote in Idaho and certainly really probably won the election in Nevada, because, of course, you know, when they were going to pick the delegates to go, and what it was obvious, Ron Paul's people were going to be take the whole convention, they just canceled the convention. They're not interested in the democratic process. They're interested in power, and that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter what the American people want, it's what the elite want, and that's how it works.
You know, it is, Dr. Stan, it is a consensus of many that John McCain did serve honorably in Vietnam, yet he has not finished his public service well, and I hate to say this about somebody that suffered, but he has utter contempt for the Constitution, and the Bible has a lot to say about rulers that don't finish well. The wisdom of Solomon was renowned. Jedediah Solomon was early very godly, and he had large sacrifices, and his kingdom was blessed. But some Bible scholars think that he died an unsaved man, and I don't think it's a coincidence that his compensation was 666 gold shekels in the end. And I think that has something to do with his idolatry and lack of faithfulness, and that he did not finish well. And McCain is not finishing well. He's a total tool of the New World Order.
I think you're absolutely right. God bless. Thanks very much.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Then let's, of course, go to, let's see, that Dan is calling from Erie, Pennsylvania. Once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Dan. How are you doing? And how are things over there in Erie, Pennsylvania?
Yes, I'm doing fine. I was just scanning on the shortwave, and I came across the program, and I said, wow, where have I been?
Says, well, I hope you'll become a regular listener. You can listen to us on shortwave. You can listen to us on radio stations. We have a couple of them in Pennsylvania. We certainly are on the Internet. And, of course, we have a satellite uplink. You can listen 9 hours a day if you want to.
Amen.
But go to RadioLiberty.com and you can learn about all the stations that we have. There may even be a station in your area that you could get. But just go to RadioLiberty.com and look us up. Anyway, I'm glad that you are a first-time listener and a first-time caller. Do you have any question or comment?
Yes, I was a couple days before McCain made his selection for his running mate. I called the Republican headquarters, and I said I thought maybe a good running mate for him would be Ellen Keyes. I always liked Ellen Keyes. I like to hear, well, he's a real good speaker.
I think he's one of the greatest orators of our time. I don't necessarily like Ellen Keyes. I believe in everything he says. I just don't like him personally, but you're absolutely right. He is a dynamic speaker, and he would have added a great deal, of course, to the ticket.
You know, I was a little, I was not taken away anything from this, the woman he's chosen. She seems like a real good governor, and not only that, a real good wife, amen, and a real good mother, amen, and a grandma, and a grandmother to be, you know. But I think the only reason why he chose her was to try to win Hillary's women voters.
Well, I think he also wanted to get the Christian voters, the evangelical Christian voters. I think it was an ingenious choice. I really do. Now, I don't like McCain. And certainly am not going to vote for McCain, but I think from a purely political point of view, it was the smartest thing he could have done.
Now, I was telling my one brother, I'm going to vote my conscience. I'm probably going to write someone else's name in there.
All right, fine. Well, you have to make that decision on your own.
Now, a lot of people think, well, that's a wasted vote. You know, otherwise, a vote that could have went for McCain, if I'm voting for a person who's running independent.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead then, Dan. You're gonna vote independent?
Well, yes, but would you consider that a wasted vote?
No, I think you stand on principle. I'd rather go down to defeat voting for a man of principle than win with a man who is totally expendable or expedient. Hold on, we'll be right back. Go right ahead.
I'm finished now.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly understand the quandary that many people feel today. They really don't know who to vote for. They can't stand Obama. They can't stand John McCain. They realize, of course, that Sarah Palin would simply be a figurehead. She is nominated not to accomplish anything, just to be a pretty face there. She may be a very excellent person. She may be standing on all the right principles. I do not know everything I've read about her. All in all, it sounds pretty good. They found out that her husband had had a citation for drunk driving 21 years ago. But, of course, we know that the media suddenly has to bring that up.
I'm sure no one in the media or any politicians never went over the speed limit. I don't care if it was 10 miles over. You know, I'm sure they've never done that all their lives. But I just like to say one thing. I really believe God's going to give this country what they want.
Maybe not what they want, but maybe what they deserve.
Well, yeah, what they deserve. Like when Israel said, "We want a king. We want a king." Well, they got their king.
You're speaking, of course, of Samuel, the 8th chapter, where
right.
of course a voice.
I really believe that. If Obama gets in, and it's a very good chance, I think that's going to be the downfall of America. Not that I would like to see in my time, I'd like to see a black man be voted in as president, but not this one, not him.
I don't really care whether a man's black or white or yellow or red. I think Martin Luther King said something very true. It'll be a wonderful time when we judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And certainly, this is what I'd like to have, but I do not. I think we have to vote for a man of character and integrity. And certainly, I think that we would have real problems with either of our current presidential candidates.
Right. I think Ron Paul would have been a better choice than me.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think Ron Paul is a man of integrity and in an equivocal world. But certainly we have him, and there are a lot of good people out there. You're just not hearing about them. I talk to them all the time, and I see them in meetings, and we've got a lot of good people. I personally like Chuck Baldwin, who's running on the Constitution Party. He's a man of integrity, and he, you know exactly where he's coming from, and he's really pushing Ron Paul's ticket. But have you noticed they keep building up Bob Barr? They never mentioned, of course, Chuck Baldwin running for the presidency.
Right.
Here, we're just about out of time. Thanks very much for calling, and I look forward to maybe you can call us again next week or the week after. That's always good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly the open lines always go in a hurry. We always enjoy it, and we hope you do as well. So, certainly this is the time when I really need to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we buy time on radio stations all across the country. We get it as economically as we can to get good audiences so that we can get the word out. And then we depend upon those of you in the audience to get our material. And if you can't buy it, you can always go up on our website and watch our DVDs. You can certainly pull down our newsletters and circulate them. Get them copied. You certainly have our permission to copy the DVDs and the tape sets we have, as long as you're not making a profit on it. We want you to get the information out. We want people to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological battlefield, on a financial battlefield, on an educational battlefield. And people do not understand the spiritual forces that are working behind the scenes. There really is a spiritual dimension to everything. We're told in the Holy Scriptures, specifically in Deuteronomy, to avoid people who are into fortune tellers and mediums and certainly people who are into spiritualism and the witches. And of course, there are people who can contact these other dimensions. And, of course, I will tell you that most of those are voting in the coming election, and then they're voting on the Democratic Party ticket. Well, there is something called the Aquarian Conspiracy. You can read the book by Marilyn Ferguson. We described that in some of our newsletters. And if you'd like to really know how to get the information, what you do is you get onto the Internet, you get onto Google, you type in Radio Liberty, and the Aquarian Conspiracy, or Marilyn Ferguson, and you go right to the newsletter. I mean, it's so easy to get the information. In fact, I use this all the time, because I can't remember which newsletter we wrote on which subject. But you can find it, and then get that information. I can tell you it's accurate. We agonize over the newsletters we turn out every month, but we want to be sure that we're absolutely right when we say something. And, of course, we have a very good friend, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and if something isn't right, he always lets me know, and I appreciate that so very, very much. So we do have a great team working with us here, and we'd like to have you join the Radio Liberty team. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and certainly we now, of course, every afternoon drive time in Spokane, every afternoon drive time here in the central coast of California, and certainly upstate New York for afternoon programs or evening programs have a tremendous outreach. If you know anybody who'd like to advertise on our network, it would help us, and believe me, of course, the whatever comes in will go to maintain our network and to expand it. So if you have any friends who would like to help Radio Liberty, our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we want to remind you about our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 26th of October, and it's going to be right here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. We're bringing in some great speakers, including Johanna Michelson, who was a medium. We're going to have, of course, Dr. Russell Blaylock, who talks extensively on health and health issues, and that's certainly one of my favorite guests. And then, of course, we're going to have Patrick Wood's going to talk on finances. Michael Shaw is going to talk on sustainable development and the master plan to enslave the people of our nation. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. I mentioned I will be speaking in Monrovia in Southern California on the weekend. If you're interested, you can always give us a call. We'll let you know how to get to the UROC conference, and And, Sydney, we're going to be talking on the oil deception. We've got everything together. And this is one of the greatest scams of all time. The skyrocketing price of oil, now the contracting price of oil. Why is it falling down? Well, I think one of the reasons is to get John McCain elected. I really believe that they manipulate everything, and I think they're going to create some incident between now and the election because they want to get John McCain elected, and you're going to have to watch things going on, understand everything is manipulated from behind the scenes. Well, Sydney, this is a time when I just ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And, of course, then, of course, remember that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And so we'll be back in just a moment. At Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Jack Samuels. And, of course, he has a website called www.truthinlabeling.org. truthinlabeling.org. And, of course, one of the big problems we have today is we do not have truth in labeling. We have an administration, we have a Federal Drug Administration who is allowing products on the market that they know that are lethal to us, that they know that are carcinogenic, that they know will certainly destroy our various organ systems, and yet, of course, they allow them on the market today. Certainly these products produce pathological obesity. Certain of them produce cancers, certainly in brain cancers. Certain of them will produce convulsions. They will produce endocrine dysfunction. And you are consuming them every day when you eat packaged foods. And you don't know because, of course, nobody is going to tell you about the dangers of MSG and aspartame. Well, this is one of the things that Jack Samuels does. So without further ado, Jack, thank you very much for being with us tonight. Tell us, how did you get started in this battle, and how did you, everybody, of course, get started studying this and trying to get the word out?
Okay. Well, actually, what happened is that in 1971, I started to collapse in certain restaurants, and frankly, I thought I was dying. Fortunately, I went to a physician, and although it was very unusual at the time, he was able to diagnose that I was having a severe MSG reaction. And I suffered with that for some years. And actually what happened is that in 1988, a Dr. Schwartz wrote a book called In Bad Taste, the MSG Syndrome. And in that book, he disclosed that, in fact, MSG was being hidden in ingredients other than monosodium glutamate, which explained for the first time why I always felt, or almost always felt, sick after eating a meal. Following the publication of his book, the food industry really
went underground and started to eliminate monosodium glutamate from foods and to replace it with hidden sources of MSG. In other words, food ingredients that had names that gave consumers absolutely no clue to the fact that MSG was present.
You mean like natural flavoring? What could be more natural than natural flavoring?
That happens to be one of them.
and
perhaps as we go along, I'll list a few of them, common ones.
But I hope you will.
But anyway, what happened is that in 1990, even though I was becoming more and more educated on the subject of MSG and where it was hidden, I inadvertently had a very small amount of MSG, went to see my personal physician, and while with him, collapsed into his arms. And frankly, he thought I had died, could not find a pulse, and when I came to, he called in my wife and told the two of us that if I could not stay away from MSG, that I would not live very much longer. And so consequently, really my wife took it extremely with extreme seriousness. She happens to have a PhD, and her training emphasizes research design, methodology, and statistics. And so she went to universities and asked scientist, how she could protect me.
Hold that off. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sure. Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jack Samuels. He's giving the background of his, the introduction to MSG and, of course, the impact it had on his life. And, of course, when you were telling, of course, that story about you collapsing in your doctor's arms,
mm-hmm.
It reminded me so much of when I was an intern at San Francisco County Hospital. And somebody came in, I gave him a shot of penicillin, sent him home, and a few minutes later, somebody rushed to the emergency room and said, you've got to do something. I just picked somebody up, they were hitchhiking and they collapsed in my car, and of course I went out and it was my patient I was just giving the shot of penicillin to, and picking that patient up in my arms. In those days I was young and strong, and carrying them in and putting them on a table and having no idea what had happened. Believe me, from a doctor's point of view, that is the most frightening thing in the world. But then when you're an intern, while you're not that smart, and fortunately a resident came by, recognized what had happened, and we gave the patient intracardiac adrenaline, and he pulled him out. But I can imagine the fear your doctor must have had when he collapsed in his arms.
I always tell everyone that when I came to, that indeed the doctor looked worse than I did.
Well, believe me, I know just how that doctor looked, because that's the way I looked at that. One of the most frightening experiences of my life.
Right. But in any event, every university that she called, major universities, she found that they were under contract to a company called Ajinomoto. Ajinomoto is the world's largest producer of monosodium glutamate, and they were doing research on monosodium glutamate and could not have discussion with her. They referred her to the Glutamate Association, and the people there advised her that I could not possibly have a reaction to MSG. And she knew that wasn't true. So she spent some 4,000 hours in the library, medical school libraries, and indeed found that, yes, there were studies that said MSG was safe, but each and every one of them was industry-sponsored, and indeed was flawed to the point that it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. But at the same time, she found hundreds of studies and publications that indicated that MSG is extremely toxic and causing serious problems. And so that sort of started us on the trail. We've testified in Washington some 7 times. I've met with FDA commissioners. And frankly, the public is being lied to.
Hold that thought there, Jack. We'll be back in just a moment with all of our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jack Samuels. Of course, he's telling about his experiences taking MSC, but almost killed him on a number of occasions. His wife, a researcher and a scientist with a PhD, actually spent 4,000 hours researching MSC. And, of course, all the studies that say MSC is safe were financed by the, could you imagine it, by the people who manufactured MSC at the time. And of course, the thing is that there are certain people who are extremely sensitive to MSG, such as Jack. I know my son is extremely sensitive to it as well. And there are really hundreds of thousands of people across America who are extremely sensitive to it. Other people can take it, but they do not understand what it does. It produces pathological obesity. We hear all this talk about all these fat Americans. Well, a lot of them are certainly fat because they're using MSG and other excitotoxins. And, of course, we hear the rise in the cancer rate. We hear rise in all sorts of physical disorders, and so many of them are related to MSG. They're not as dramatic as Jack's experience, but believe me, they're just as lethal. So pick up the story there, Jack.
Okay, so in any event, we became very serious about this. And we found that, in fact, the FDA was lying to us and to others, and that the food industry was not answering consumers' complaints or questions, you know, honestly. And so we really made a study of MSG and have worked diligently since 1990 for over 18 years reading research and looking into the subject of MSG, actually attending meetings of industry, talking to industry food technologists, and really understanding the problem. And in 1994, we started the Truth in Labeling campaign with the intent of having Truth in Labeling in product processed foods. But realizing that MSG was such a massive problem, we decided that our initial project would be to help people who, in fact, are suffering from MSG sensitivity and to attempt to get the government to properly disclose its presence in processed foods.
All right, well, let's start with the first question. What percentage of the people do you think actually have this MSG sensitivity, a severe sensitivity, a mild sensitivity?
Right. That's a very good question. If you were to call the FDA, even today, they finally admit that some people, and they use the claim, have mild and transitory reactions to MSG, and they will tell you it's about 2%. The fact of the matter is that in 1972, based on the amount of monosodium glutamate in food, it was determined in an epidemiologic study that 25% of the population experienced adverse reactions from MSG. In 1975, another scientist did an epidemiologic study and concluded that it was 30%. And shortly after that, the glutamate industry retained the services of a scientist to do a study, obviously to refute these earlier findings. And he, in fact, had a problem, because 43% of the subjects that he used reported conditions that we now recognize as MSG reactions. And so what he did is to narrowly define what he called Chinese restaurant syndrome as mild and transitory reactions of numbness, tingling, and tightness of the chest, all occurring at the same time. If you just had numbness, it wasn't MSG. If you had migraine headache, it wasn't MSG. And still, using that very, very tight definition, he found 1.8% of the people reacting. Now, you asked how many have severe reactions. We strongly believe that that percentage is increasing. There are no studies, to indicate the number, but we feel that today 40 to 50% of the population is experiencing are experiencing adverse reactions from MSG, and probably 2 to 3% of our population are experiencing what I would term life-threatening sensitivity.
All right. Well, can you explain what sort of symptoms people would get from the MSG?
Okay. Well, the very most common reaction is migraine headache. And probably the next most common reaction is some form of gastrointestinal problem. It may be extreme diarrhea. It may be nausea and vomiting, stomach cramps, what is now known as irritable bowel syndrome. Some people have swelling of the hemorrhoids, rectal bleeding, bloating, that type of thing. But there are people who have flu-like achiness. In fact, there is a study in which they were able to resolve fibromyalgia by eliminating MSG. Heart irregularities, which are increasing dramatically. Arrhythmia, which, as you know, doctor, you know, is sort of a jelly-like feeling of the heart. It just goes all over the place. Or tachycardia, which is, you know, a rapid heartbeat. And some people get some angina. Very common reactions, well, virtually everyone has a mood swing. Some people experience depression or rage reactions. Some people are lightheaded, are disoriented and have mental confusion. People often experience panic attacks, panic and anxiety attacks, hyperactivity, asthma is very big. Some people get lethargy or, in fact, insomnia, that they can't sleep and have extreme type dreams. Seizures are related to MSG in some people. We have had people with frequent urination. Hives have been shown in the, in research to on occasion be MSG related, rashes, mouth lesions, flushing, dryness of the mouth, and bags under the eyes. It's an interesting thing that MSG seems to find the weak system in one's body. So that, for example, in my case, under certain conditions, I'll collapse. Virtually in every case, I'll go into atrial fibrillation, which certainly is life-threatening. And the next person will not have that, and they'll only have migraine headaches. Or the next one will only have asthma. And but this is a very, very serious problem.
And, of course, if you have auricular fibrillation, it shows, of course, you have hyper-irritability of the conduction centers of your heart, so you're actually impacting on the neurological system of the heart itself.
Right. Yeah, and, of course, I'm at risk for cardiac arrest or or stroke, you know, in some cases. So, you know, how many people today are on blood thinners because of atrial fibrillation? And in fact, that atrial fibrillation may, in fact, be nothing more than MSG-related.
And let me just comment, of course, I'm concerned about atrial fibrillation. I've had it, fortunately, it's a auricular fibrillation. I no longer have it. But suddenly I was anticoagulated, and I was taking large doses of vitamin D, which I think are very good for you, until I read an article and then checked out on the Internet. And there's a very definite relationship between, of course, taking Coumadin and vitamin D. You take the two of them together. Why? Of course, you will calcify your arteries, your aorta, your arteries, and your heart and your brain and throughout your body very, very quickly. They found this in animal studies. we should never be, of course, be taking vitamin D and the anticoagulants.
Right.
I don't think the average doctor has any idea about these things. They're not being told about this. Why? Because I believe there really are people who have a different agenda. And the last thing they want, of course, the public to realize that so much of what's being done is actually harmful. It's not that doctors are trying to hurt them, but of course the doctors are not being told. That's why you need to listen to programs like this. And certainly if you want to get the information, you go up and you Google in Coumadin and vitamin D and arteriosclerosis, and you get all sorts of animal studies that verify exactly what I've said. So I think it's so important that you realize this whole thing had come about because of being on MSG. And then, of course, you're fibrillating. We've got to put you on to the Coumadin. And, of course, this could very well lead to extensive calcification, which you never would have had otherwise. So, Jack, I'm just so glad you're getting the information out.
Well, you know, what really bothers me is I'm a former hospital administrator, and very often if you talk to an emergency room physician, they immediately acknowledge that they get cases of heart irregularities coming from restaurants.
Right.
But if you go upstairs and talk to a cardiologist and tell him that MSG can cause heart irregularities, even though it's in the literature, they'll say, "Why, that's foolish. Where did you ever find that out from?"
Well, of course, you have come from a medical background then, of course, and certainly, you know, the doctors really, they mean very well. I really believe that the average doctor really wants to be helpful, but the information is being blocked to him. That's why as a patient out there need to get the information. You need to get it compiled, and then you need to take it to your doctor and say, "Doctor, take a look at this. I'd like to know what you think." If you tell him why he's going to be defensive, if you ask him why, he may very well learn, and he may very well then be able to do a better job with his patients. The same thing with magnesium. People, of course, with heart, irritable heart, need magnesium supplements, and they almost never get them.
There's no question that these are serious problems, and the FDA is busy telling doctors it's safe.
Well, of course, this is unfortunately because there's some wicked people working for the FDA. Tell me what happened when you've talked to people working for the FDA. You know, and well, they tell you in private what they know, but of course, they want to save their jobs. They're going to go along with the flow.
Yes, that's right. Well, actually, in 1994, we sued the FDA. All we have ever asked the FDA to do is to require that foods, when first introduced to the market or when the recipe is changed, that these foods be analyzed for free glutamic acid, and that if it is found to be present, that it be stated on the label as MSG with the amount stated in milligrams. Then people would know what's causing their problem. People would know what levels they can tolerate, and they can purchase foods accordingly. The FDA fought us in court and, in fact, refused to be discovered. In other words, refused to present documents from their files that would prove our case that they knew it was a problem and were doing nothing about it. And the court allowed them to get away with that, and consequently we couldn't prove that they were cheating. And as soon as the court case was over, the FDA stopped all activities regarding MSG, and at present are doing nothing to protect consumers as it relates to MSG.
Well, did you run into Dr. Olney's work on MSG in your studies?
Absolutely, yes.
Would you like to tell our listeners who Dr. Olney was and why his information is so vitally important?
Yes. Dr. Olney is a very wonderful man who is a member of the National Academy of Science and who is recognized by neuroscientists as a scientist. In 1968, his laboratory was replicating a study from Lucas and Newhouse in, I believe it was 1957, that showed that MSG caused retinal deterioration. And Dr. Olney was walking through the laboratory and noted that the mice being treated with MSG were grotesquely obese.
And I think that's so important to understand the relationship between morbid obesity, between pathological obesity and MSG. And then we say, oh, look at all those fat people. It's all their fault. And a lot of them, of course, are victims of MSG. But the media is not telling you that.
That's exactly right. And so Dr. Olney recognized that this could be a hypothalamic problem. And he sacrificed some of the mice and found that, indeed, MSG caused lesions in the arcuate nucleus area of the hypothalamus, neuroendocrine disorders later in life, and he became extremely alarmed because he also realized that that the very young and the older people were more at risk, and this ended up with a...
Hold that thought there, Jack. We'll be back in just a moment as we bring other stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Jack Samuels. And of course, he's been talking about the problems with MSG, telling us about Dr. Olney. Dr. Olney had actually been a scientist who, in 1968, 40 years ago, had come out with a study showing the dangers of MSG in the food. It showed that it produced pathological obesity, produced pituitary or hypothalamic lesions in mice, and of course he was trying to educate the American people the dangers of MSG. Now, at that time, of course the Food and Drug Administration would not allow MSG in the food supply because they knew it was how harmful it was. And, of course, the fact it's related to convulsions and brain tumors and all sorts of things. But, of course, it's carcinogenic, as all excitotoxins are. But the big thing, of course, was the harm it did as far as pathological obesity. But all this information is being currently ignored by the FDA that has all this in their files, and there are people at the highest echelons of the FDA who have a different agenda. So pick the story up. Jack was saying that he actually sued the FDA back in 1994 just to ask them to let people know if there are free glutamates in the food, in other words, MSG in the food, and the FDA under no circumstances would either release all the secret files they had or admit the terrible harm done by this. Because why? We're talking about billions of dollars out there, and then we're talking about people with a different worldview who think there are too many people in the world. This is my explanation for at least why some of the people are doing things. But, Jack, anyway, what happened? You lost your lawsuit. So what happened after that?
Well, actually, before the lawsuit, we knew of a smoking gun document that the FDA had that cost the FDA $500,000. We requested it under Freedom of Information and never received it. We asked for it during the lawsuit, and it was denied. They came into court with a copy of an act that is intended to protect government documents. And although I think it was not properly used in this case, the court did agree with them and would not let our evidence be presented. After the court case, we found a cooperative congressman who went after the document for us. And the FDA had the nerve to send this congressman a different document, not the one that was requested. And, of course, the congressman became quite upset and went after the FDA again, at which time we received a letter from a lawyer from the FDA, which carefully worded stated that they could not find the document and it was likely destroyed. So that speaks for the FDA.
Well, of course, was it destroyed? Certainly, they can always say it's destroyed, but then when government agents lie, when government officials lie, nothing ever happens to them.
Yeah, I would suspect that if the president asked for that document and insisted that it be found, they'd say, well, we didn't say that it was destroyed. We just thought it was destroyed. But that's what they told us. And I think your listeners should know, too, perhaps, Doctor, you recall, I think it was in 1987, there was a great scare with the amino acid L-tryptophan.
Right.
About 35 people died, and hundreds were permanently disabled.
Eosinophilic myalgia was, of course, and of course was related to L-tryptophan. Yes. But, of course, that was related to the fact that this was genetically created. It was actually a genetically modified L-tryptophan created in a laboratory, and only in one laboratory. This was not L-tryptophan as a whole. It was simply one laboratory in Japan that was doing that.
Well, it turns out that's not exactly the case.
All right, fine.
And here is what happened. The L-tryptophan was believed to be because of a contaminant produced by a company, Showa Denko.
A Japanese company.
Well, I knew from the start that wasn't true, because 5% of the product that came into our country came from other Japanese producers. And, in fact, the percentage of people who got sick, you know, was the same. And so nothing was ever done. The FDA was never able to find the contaminant that caused this. In the year 2000, I happened to attend a lecture where a chief scientist from the FDA disclosed that they now believe that they know the reason for the L-tryptophan problem.
All right, you're going to have to hold that line. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Jack, go right ahead. You were saying that an official scientist said that the FDA thought that they knew the reason why people got this eosinophilic myalgia from the L-tryptophan.
Right. And he explained to the audience that whenever you free an amino acid from an intact protein, you know, through a manufacturing process or through fermentation, you will always get certain contaminants. I don't want to get technical on your listeners, but I'm speaking of things like D-glutamic acid for glutamic acid, pyroglutamic acid, certain contaminants. And that they now believe, or then believed, that a certain percentage of the population had an acute sensitivity to one or more of these naturally occurring contaminants when freeing the L-tryptophan from protein. I went to him and said, here is a list of sources of MSG. We told you that this was possibly the problem. Why don't you test these ingredients? You will find the same contaminants. And he looked me in the eye and said, I took your list, but we will never find the time to do tests on MSG. Okay. Now, what did happen, however, is that to cleanse their skirts, the FDA contracted for a study to evaluate the safety of amino acids, individual amino acids, in supplements. And I attended some of those meetings and introduced the subject of glutamic acid, what we're talking of, MSG. And when the study came out, they concluded that for glutamic acid, they believed that it would be prudent to avoid the use of glutamic acid in supplements for infants, children, pregnant women, women of birthing age, and people with affective disorders or mood disorders. That's about half the population. That finding is in writing in the files of the FDA, and I don't think any of your listeners have ever heard that before. It was never distributed.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was talking to Jack Samuels, and go ahead, pick up the story there, Jack.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that bother us.
And of course, we're really seeing is the fact that there's a government cover-up, and the people who want to keep their jobs with the FDA keep their mouths shut, because, of course, the big money is behind this poison that they're putting in our food that is having such a disastrous effect on the lives of so many of our American citizens. Now, Jack, would you want to get the names, of course, of some of the things that they call? They call the MSG, they call it natural flavoring. I mean, that's such an innocuous term, and, of course, for such a lethal substance. What are some of the other terms they use?
With your permission, let me just quantify the fact that in 2006, the worldwide production of monosodium glutamate, the food ingredient monosodium glutamate, was 4.4 million pounds, valued at $2.3 billion. And that does not include the hidden sources of MSG, which at least doubles that number. Now, some of the things that one would want to avoid are, for example, yeast extract, calcium or sodium caseinate, yeast nutrient, autolyzed yeast, carrageenan produces it, the soy and whey protein concentrate or isolate would be something that is problematic. You'll find it in fermented foods like soy sauce. And I want to take special attention to the word hydrolyzed. Not hydrogenated, but hydrolyzed. You will see on labels the word hydrolyzed soy protein, hydrolyzed corn protein, wheat protein, etc. Whenever you hydrolyze a protein, the common method used in our country is to use an acid. And any acid hydrolyzed protein will include among the contaminants carcinogenic propanols. We brought that to the attention of the FDA in 93. They told us we were foolish, that when you breathe there are carcinogens, it's nothing to be concerned about. But I think your listeners would be interested to know that in recent years, the English Food Regulatory Agency removed certain sauces from grocers' shelves when they found that they had levels of carcinogens that far exceeded the levels that they believed to be safe. And through circumstance, I happened to be in contact with the English Regulatory Agency, and I suggested to them that the problem was probably an acid hydrolyzed protein and the propanols that are produced. And they wrote back and said, you are 100% correct. And our FDA had done nothing about that, even though told in 1993. And now you mentioned the fact of natural flavoring. Flavoring was determined by Congress through our friends of industry, lobbyists, that all flavors and flavorings are proprietary, and therefore the ingredients need not be disclosed. The word natural only means, in FDA language and food industry language, natural only means that the base product started in nature rather than in a laboratory. regardless of how it was processed or what was used, it is still natural. Therefore, the food ingredient monosodium glutamate is, in fact, natural. And the FDA, as I put it, occasionally pretends like they're doing something for people. And so they passed regulation in recent years that stated that if monosodium glutamate or hydrolyzed protein is used in a flavor or flavoring, it must be disclosed on the label. I have to tell you that I have never seen a flavor or flavoring on a label that said contains monosodium glutamate or hydrolyzed protein. And indeed, the FDA, to our knowledge, has never walked into a flavoring plant, taken a sample, and tested it. So the regulation is meaningless, and there are hundreds of ways of introducing what we call MSG into a product without using monosodium glutamate or what they call hydrolyzed protein.
And I'm really very, very concerned about food colorings or food flavorings, things
absolutely
of that sort. But the average American doesn't understand that many times these are extremely toxic, and you're really going to have to start doing some studying to protect your family. You're far better off to stay with natural foods and not get into these that are prepackaged, because so many of them will contain taste enhancers, which, of course, is simply another convenient name for either aspartame or MSG.
Doctor, I'm very concerned right now because we who are MSG sensitive always felt relatively safe eating something that said artificial flavor, you know, made in a laboratory. All of a sudden, a company in San Diego by the name of Senomex, S-E-N-O-M-Y-X, announced that they had a product that would replicate the action of monosodium glutamate, and that they also could develop a laboratory product to replace salt and one to replace sweetness, sugar. As soon as they announced this, they also announced that the amount was such that it was under the radar for FDA approval, and that if it was used in a product, it could be labeled as artificial flavor. So no one will ever see the word Senomex on a label. It will be an artificial flavor if disclosed at all. When industry heard about this, Coca-Cola, Kraft Foods, Campbell Soup, and Nestle jumped in and gave the company $30 million for further research. And then others jumped in also. And as we stand now, the MSG product is on the market, and Ajinomoto, the largest producer of MSG, has the marketing rights for the United States and some other countries. Nestle has the marketing rights for Europe and other countries. And so MSG is on the market. The salt product apparently has just hit the market. Sugar is still under development. But from everything I read, it in fact works neurologically in the same manner as does MSG. And consequently, I'm very fearful that it will cause the same type of reactions. I wrote a letter to the commissioner of the FDA, and I said, it seems to me that this Senomex product is a very small chemical product. When a pharmaceutical firm wants to introduce a new drug, they'll spend over $100 million and spend over 10 years to have it approved. But because this company calls this product a food, no one even looks at it. And please explain to me how you can do that. And I never got an answer to that letter.
Well, I think it's really so important that the leads are out there on the front lines and that you get this information out. Are you having a difficulty getting this information out on radio stations, or are you getting pretty good reception?
It is only people like you who are willing to do this. In 1991, 60 Minutes did a segment on MSG. The industry went so far as to have one of their friends talk to the then owner of CBS to try to kill the story. The story was watered down, but was still very good. But the industry made it very clear that this should never be done again. And in fact, the then producer of 60 Minutes said he never had pressure for any other story that, you know, exceeded the pressure on this story, and he would never touch the MSG issue again.
Well, now, let's talk about some of these specific things that it does. Now, we do know that aspartame is carcinogenic. What about MSG? Is there any evidence that MSG is carcinogenic?
Absolutely. Well, the hydrolyzed protein, you know, the propanols produced in the acid hydrolyzed proteins are very definitely carcinogenic. When you get into the flavors and flavorings, they use what they call processed or reaction flavors, where they put protein along with the sugar into like a microwave and heat it for varying periods of time at extreme heat. And of course, they develop things like heterocyclic amines and things of that type that are also carcinogenic. So there is no question that it's carcinogenic. And Dr. Blalock, who has written the book Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills...
He's a good personal friend, so go ahead.
Right. Well, he'll explain to you that that he is finding research that indicates that that the MSG will, in fact, increase, so to speak, the circulation of cancer cells. And so will contribute to a cancer.
Now, how could it possibly be that the government would allow something that is known to be carcinogenic into the food supply? That just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's terrible. Look, the EPA approved the use of glutamic acid on agricultural crops. And what they did is they removed any tolerance level. In other words, you could use any amount of glutamic acid on crops. And we even filed a petition against that particular act. And after 2 years, the EPA told us that the petition was turned down. We asked why, and they said, well, you sent all these scientific reports and so forth, we passed them on to the producer of the product, and they said it was meaningless. So they approved the use of a product that was over 30% of what we call MSG.
Is there any way to bring a lawsuit against either the government or against the company that's doing it? Probably against the government, because the other company, they'd spend billions of dollars to crush you.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of money involved. What we need is a class action law firm who is willing to take this on a contingency basis. It's going to cost millions of dollars. And, in fact, some of these companies should be brought to justice. There are growing numbers of products in the store today that say no MSG or no MSG added. And indeed, they have what we call MSG. What we call MSG is any free glutamic acid that has been freed from protein through a manufacturing process or through fermentation. And it does differ from the glutamic acid that is found in unprocessed produce and foods because it always is accompanied by contaminants. They are not, you know, the same. But companies are putting no MSG on the label, and then, for example, they'll use a hydrolyzed protein or a yeast extract that is definitely MSG, and even the FDA acknowledges that it is improper for that to be labeled as such, but they take no action against it. And so people go to the store thinking they're buying something safe, and it isn't safe. And if they're not sure of reactions, these people get confused because they bought something that said no MSG and they had the same reaction. That's how the game is being played.
And it is a game, but it's a deadly game as far as I'm concerned. And I really think it's so vitally important that people understand they've got to get away from so many of these food products already prepared that have disastrous effects, and they cannot depend upon the FDA or the EPA or the ICE or whatever you want to call it, the government agencies protect us. We're going to have to protect ourselves, and we're going to have to get the information out and certainly help people, other people protect themselves. Do you think that you're making any headway? Do you think people are beginning to understand the dangers of MSG, aspartame, and these other things that the government's allowing into poisonous?
Yeah, we think that the word is getting out. Slowly but surely, and people are starting to identify the problem. But, you know, we have such serious problems in this country. I mean, for example, there are more and more little kids that are having seizures, and the neurologists and neurosurgeons can't find a physical reason for the seizure.
And do you think it's related to the MSG aspartame?
Every one of those kids that has come to us and, you know, asked, for a diet, which obviously isn't going to hurt the kid, found that the seizure stopped. And if they made a mistake, the kid had a seizure again. But the sad thing is that according to an article that was done, a review article, about 50 or 60 cases a year currently, they're removing a lobe of the brain of these children to control the seizures. It's sad. I mean, it just tears my heart out when I read about, you know, those things. Maybe we should tell your listeners how best to determine if they're sensitive.
Well, how, first of all, how can they get in touch with your material? We'll get that when we get back. But how can they get in touch with you?
If they go to www.truthinlabeling.org.
That's
organization.
www.truthinlabeling.org.
Yes.
Vitally important information.
Yeah, and our internet address is...
Hold that thought. We'll get that in just a moment.
Okay.
Jack, go ahead and get your internet address out there, and then whatever else you'd like to say.
It's on, on our website, but it's AD, like Alpha Delta, the word and, A-N-D, Jack, J-A-C-K, at AOL.com. A-D and Jack at AOL.com.
Okay, very good. Well, Sydney, I appreciate everything you're doing. And Sydney, what can people do to help you? How can we get this information out, let people understand that their children are being poisoned? I mean, the people in government who know what's going on, and yet they're afraid to take a stand.
Right. Well, we suggest that they write to their congressmen and senators, congressperson and senators, and if they are MSG sensitive, to tell of their problem or problems with MSG and how difficult it is for them to identify it on the labels of processed foods. That they ask that the FDA be forced to require that all foods newly introduced or with change of recipe be analyzed for free glutamic acid, and when it is found to be present, that it be disclosed on the label as MSG with the amount stated in milligrams. And if I could take a moment, let me just tell you that a scientist by the name of Dr. He, along with associates, just this month published a study based on some 800 people in China who, you know, were not using processed foods. And in their study, they found that with an average daily use of 0.33 grams of monosodium glutamate per day, that they gained weight. And so that's pretty, you know, pretty serious kind of...
And, of course, they've known this for years as far as the animals are concerned.
There's also, you know, the industry said, you know, well, Orientals don't react. There was also, in recent years, a study by Oguro and others where he found, apparently, there's a high percentage of elderly in Japan who go blind. And he did a 9-month study where he fed MSG to rats, and at 3 months he...
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Sure.
Well, shouldn't that, Jack is telling us about a study where they fed MSG to rats, and at 3 months what happened?
At the end of 3 months, he sacrificed some rats and found no real meaningful change in the retina. But at 6 months, he found that the rats that were sacrificed had a thinning of the retina, and at 9 months, the thinning of the retina was severe to the point of causing permanent blindness.
And so this is what we're sort of things we're giving to our people, and then we wonder why we have so much illness. We're out of time, Jack. God bless. I will want to get you on our other programs. I think your message is important, and we'll do everything we can to help you get it out. Thanks very much for being with
Thank
us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good night. God Good bless. Night. And that was Jack Samuels, of course, of truthandlabeling.org, truthandlabeling.org. This is an important subject. We have a great deal of information on aspartame, which is also an excitotoxin. We carry the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We have a great DVD, and of course, remember, this overlaps with aspartame, but they all work exactly the same as the MSG. This is, of course, NutraSweet, but the DVD, Sweet Remedy, and Sweet Misery. But Sweet Remedy has a great deal of footage there of Dr. Olney, who was the scientist who did the original work on MSG and aspartame back in the 1960s. But they cannot let the American people know this is very important footage. And, of course, that the DVD is called Sweet Remedy. A Sweet Remedy. We have 2 4 tape sets on aspartame. We, of course, have the 2 DVDs we've talked to you about. You need to get the information. Of course, we carry the book, The Aspartame, The Forgotten Epidemic by Dr. Roberts, and another book by Dr. Roberts. The information is here. You need to get it. You need to help us get it out. And you need to understand they're poisoning you and your family. And they know what they're doing. Why would anybody in their right mind do that? Because we're not dealing with people in their right mind. You have to understand that there are powerful forces out there that want to kill off the majority of the world's population. If you've not yet heard my talk on Nandir College Genocide, if you've not heard my talk on planned population production, if you've not yet read my treatise on the Population Control Agenda Monograph, and that's available free up on our website at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. But if you order into the other things, of course, we have, and ask for a free copy of the monograph, we'll send it to you without charge. That's a planned population reduction. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there really are people who want to do us harm. We have, of course, material on cancer. Why do we still have cancer? Why is the incidence of cancer rising? Because, of course, MSG and aspartame are carcinogenic, and they know this. Just like we began our first hour this evening talking about some of the statin drugs that are being widely used and increase the incidence of cancer 40%. And, of course, the response is, well, we don't have to worry about that because the animal studies financed by the industry don't show any carcinogenic tendencies. You need to get the little book we have on statin drugs. You need to get the 4-tape set we have on statin drugs. You need to understand that they are simply giving this to millions of Americans, and it's a carcinogenic product, and they know they're carcinogenic, and they're concealing that information from the American people, because we're dealing with organized evil. And when you understand that, when you understand that the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, described in Revelation 6:8, is galloping across the world today, along with the rider on the white horse, the rider on the red horse, the rider on the black horse. We're moving into wars intensively and purposely, and we're provoking one, certainly with Russia and China and the Muslim world. I can't tell you when they're coming, but I can tell you that they are coming. We're in very real problems today, and it's up to you out there in the listening audience to help us to get the information out. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. Free DVDs, free newsletters, free access to our radio programs. Get the information. Help us to get it out. Think about coming to our all-day conference on October 26th, right here in the Monterey Bay. We'll be bringing in fascinating speakers. That's October 26th. Call us at 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.